Thanks, Greg. Yes, we're backstage with David Afcom. Welcome to Philadelphia.
Thank you. I'm enjoying so far very much.
Well, you are very busy right now. In addition to being the principal conductor of the Spanish National Orchestra and Chorus, you're guest conducting, making debuts in Philadelphia, Montreal, with the Chamber Orchestra of Europe, the Czech Philharmonic. How did you get into all of this? You were born in Germany and studied violin and piano when you were six.
Yes, I'm the youngest of five, so all of them played an instrument. And of course, if you're the youngest, you just learn it with your sisters and brother, you know. That's true. I learned violin and piano when I was 6 years old and did a lot of competitions, chamber music, played as concertmaster in the orchestra. But then I knew that I did not want to continue really studying piano or violin. I was looking for something else. And then that time I tried out conducting and I knew that's the thing I wanted to do.
Was there a certain piece that inspired you?
My family is a medical, musical family. So we had a lot of recordings at home. But also I have to say Bernhard Haitink was there. That was a great luck that in the first or second year of my studies then, conducting studies, I did a masterclass where I met Maestro Haitink, and he is until today still my mentor, and I'm very grateful for that.
Was there one piece of advice that he gave you that you carry with you?
There's not one particular advice. It's more about trusting the musicians and letting music come from inside rather than to jump around and to organize air. It's more leading from inside with an enormous will and strength and focus. If you trust the musicians, they will give everything to you. And that's also then changing the sound to more noble sound. So it's everything is connected with your energy, psychology, and with sound and at the end of an orchestra. Yeah.
Well, this program has three great masters and a lot of connections between them.
Yes, we have a quite dramatic, tragic program, quite dark program, I have to say. We just played the Coriolan Overture of Beethoven, which is in C minor, the key of the tragic hero, and then paired with the Mozart D minor, which is piano concerto with the famous and fabulous Seojin Cho as a soloist, and which is a famous concerto, of course. D minor in Mozart is the key of death, if you think of Don Giovanni. After the break, we will play the Brahms First Symphony, also in C minor, which is very dark, a beginning, like a breakthrough at the beginning. I mean, Brahms was writing so many years at this symphony, and at the end he succeeded, and then it's a whole journey through these beautiful diamonds of second and third movement to the triumphant last moment. So you have really per aspera ad astra, through night to light. And this is, I think, maybe the summary of the whole program. Drama, tragedy, but at the end there's light.
Well, when we talk about Brahms' First Symphony, it took him so long to write, in part because Schumann had said he would be the next Beethoven, and that the burden of that was very heavy for him. And to some extent, it sounds like Beethoven.
Yes, one conductor once said, you hear the footsteps at the beginning of the introduction of the first movement. You hear the footstep of Beethoven marching behind Brahms. And so it's kind of a burden, but it's also a nice story, if you want to say. But definitely, every great composer after Beethoven had to compare himself to this master of Beethoven, this giant, if you want to say. Of course, you have the German tradition, that means you have to a motivic technique of composing. Brahms is using very clearly structured motifs that you can find in every almost phrase of every movement in that symphony. If you go back to Beethoven, you find the same technique of composing. And of course, the expression, the drama, the idea of romantic pushing yourself and breaking through your own problems and to find a solution, this comes also from Beethoven. So there are a lot of links between these composers. It's beautiful and also interesting to compare and to find these details and these links.
What is it like for you to conduct a program like this of music that is such an established part of the repertoire with an orchestra that has played it many, many times? What does this music mean to you and what choices do you make?
This music are the roots of my musical education, because I am German. Beethoven, Haydn, Mozart, Schubert, Schumann, Brahms. From there, going on to Mahler, Bruckner, also, of course, to the Second Viennese School and all the French imprisoning. But the base are these composers. That's why it means a lot to me. It's in the blood, if I want to say. But nevertheless, these pieces are maybe the most difficult to do because it's absolute music. Of course, we don't have a story right now. We can talk about, you know, that there's the giant Beethoven marching behind Brahms. But actually, at the end, it's absolute music. And we have to convince the people and the musicians, the audience, through these black points on the white paper and to get behind these notes to find a message. As Mahler said, you have to keep the fire burning rather to just pray the ashes. And that's the important thing. These pieces are masterpieces, and that's why it's not just something that is in a museum, you have to look at the painting. No, it's something that you have to connect every time with your present time, with the society we are living in, to really connect to the life we are in. And these masterpieces are masterpieces because they have this quality in themselves. And that's why you have to reread, rediscover, and reconnect all the time.
Does the different orchestra also influence your interpretation?
Yes, of course. It's a giving and taking. Of course, I have a strong vision. You have to have a strong vision. If not, you should not be a conductor. After a lot of studying, you have the vision in your head, the sound, the phrasing, the tempi, I mean, all sorts, colors. And then you are in front of such a wonderful orchestra like the Philadelphia, where you hear this tradition and this experience. My God, it's just a dream to be here in front of this orchestra. But they have their tradition, they have their sound. So you have to react on what they give to you. But at the end, it's a journey that is together from both sides. And I think this is the beauty, because you can discover together new angles, new ways, a journey together.
So how do you feel about the future of classical music?
I am positive. I'm also realistic. And I see that one has to work to connect with society. You have to connect with your people, because at the end, why are we doing the music? And this music has a strong message. Every music has a strong message. It depends, but at the end there is a message. And we have to find ways to deliver this message, but also to go to the audience, to go outside. But at the end, it's important that we are not in a bubble for ourselves, like a museum. No, music is alive. Music is the art form that maybe connects the easiest and fastest ways with our soul and can touch immediately and also beautifully differently. One is crying, the other is laughing at the same time through listening to the same music. This is the beautiful wide range of what music can evoke and provoke in one's heart and mind as well. We have to spread that into the world.
Thank you so much, David Afkam.
Thank you very much.